Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I always admit if I have a dog in the fight, I would love to see America have its first, very first American-founded, American-made car company in over half a century. And there is the chance for that to happen, and I'm enthusiastic enough about the idea that while I don't do commercials for you, Leo. I don't have any money. I haven't bought their stock deliberately because I don't want to have a dog in the fight. So that when I talk about it, you know I'm talking about it just because I like the idea of an American-formed car company making a car built in America that gets 84 miles to the gallon and sells for around $7,000 or $8,000. That sounds like a fantastic, great idea. While the government is flushing away so many billions of dollars of our tax money on things like electric cars that Americans are not enthusiastic about, Americans are still very much in love with the idea of a gasoline-powered car, especially one that could get 84 miles to the gallon and cost about $7,500. Now, the man behind this is Paul Elio. He is the CEO of Elio Motors, but he also has an engineering background. Paul, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Lars.
So you and I have been talking about this for years. You have raised, what, over $100 million now? And you're only a couple of hundred million dollars short.
That's correct. And honestly, the first $100 million is much harder than the last $100 million. Right?
Is it really?
Well, sure. You know, the when I first started the project, and it was a paper napkin sketch, and you didn't know it was possible, it was a hard thing to back. At this point, you know, with the who's who of the global supply base engaged, we have 65,000 reservations. We've secured a plant out of the GM bankruptcy in Shreveport, Louisiana. We've changed laws in 33 states so that the only state left that you have to wear a helmet in is Maine, and that's only if you're 16 to 18 years old. It's a lot easier to see the vision at this point. Right?
Just so when I tell people about it, I say, look it up. It's E-L-I-O. Very simple name. It's your last name. It's the name of the car company. Tina and I put a reservation in a few years ago, and we're anxious to see the company go. And at this point, your plan is still to start making these cars out of the old GM Hummer plant down in Shreveport, Louisiana, next year sometime?
That's correct. So we're working to a little over a 76-week timeline. You know, we were on delay due to funding delays. Late April, we announced that Overstock.com made an investment in Elio and that we were going to do what we're calling an STO. STO is a new term, stands for Securitized Token Offering. And so it's a cryptocurrency offering. Up till now, they've been called ICOs for initial coin offering. ICOs are unregulated. The S in the STO stands for securitized, meaning that we will follow the same rules as if it were a stock. So we will do the same disclosures and forms with the SEC just as if we were issuing a stock to the public.
Now, you had planned to start production of this several years ago, and I still get a hard time from people who say, Lars, you got your reservation. You're going to buy one when they come. But why hasn't it happened before now? Is there an easy way to explain why production has had to be put off, and how much do gasoline prices play into that?
Well, it's pretty much exclusively funding delays. Our capital markets are simply broken for funding large capital startups like Elio Motors. And I think that's the exciting thing about cryptocurrency is it is a new way to fund companies. And I think it has the potential to solve a big problem.
Would you mind saying where the car sits now, engineering-wise? Because you know I've driven one of the prototypes, not for very long, but I drove it. Drove it around town for a while, and it's a fun little car to drive. And believe me, everybody whipped out their cell phone cameras to take pictures when you drive by. It's an interesting-looking automobile. And with the promise of being, you know, say a daily driver that someone could drive to work and fill up their tank at the beginning of the month and probably not fill it till the end of the month if you have an average-sized commute, it could be a tremendous boon. But I know that low gas prices, you know, affected, say, the marketability of it. But as you say, the capital markets are broken. Is there a way to explain to financial lay people like me and like the people who listen to this show what you mean when you say it's broken and how much of that brokenness has to do with the government and regulations?
Well, a fair amount. You know, they've done a good job at protecting the public from bad actors. But at the same time, they've really constricted the access for real companies like Elio Motors. So what's occurred over time is you get this concentration of capital in venture capital funds and private equity funds. And the venture capital guys, they want to spend $5 million and recreate Facebook. And so you show them a large budget like this, and their head pops off, right? You go to the private equity guys, they're used to writing checks that size all the time, but you tell them you're not going to have revenues for a year and a half, and their head pops off. And both of them, due to the concentration of capital, have specialized. So, you know, we only invest in biotech. We only invest in internet plays. So no matter how good the idea is, if you don't fit in their box, they're not willing to take a real look at you. And not enough new car companies happen that's in anybody's box. So you have to go to these very large organizations and ask them to step out of their comfort zone in two different ways. And it's extraordinarily difficult.
And one of those things, you need about what? Just shy of $400 million to start, and you've got about $110 right now.
Correct. That's the published numbers. We've made a strategic alliance since that we're not ready to disclose. It'll bring that number down, but that's the publicly disclosed number.
Okay, fair enough. And you can talk about the strategic alliance. Where does the car stand as far as engineering goes? Because that's your background, is engineering, right?
Correct. I got my engineering degree at General Motors Institute in Flint, Michigan, and then I had a consultancy that did new product development in automotive, and Elo Motors is really just an outgrowth of that company. Where we're at is the design is pretty much finalized. The next step is we're going to complete the E-Series, which we began. So we built three of those, and the E stands for engineering. We're going to build another 20. We'll run a total of 92 tests on those 20 vehicles. The last test of each vehicle will be destructive, so none of them will remain, sadly. And then once we have the confidence we found any flaws in the design, then you kick off the hard tools, wait for those to come in, install them in the factory, and start production.
Now, the destructive testing, is that required by the government for safety?
Well, no. So we're a motorcycle, so we don't have to have seatbelts or an airbag. We do. We're choosing to follow nearly all four-wheel regulations. And the reason I have to say nearly all is there's some ticky-tacky things that don't make sense. For instance, on headlight brightness, we have to comply with motorcycle headlight brightness, which forces us to violate automotive headlight brightness.
What? Hold on. Explain that, because I love it when the government writes rules that contradict each other.
Well, so motorcycle headlights are brighter than car headlights, so they're more obvious. So right, because it's more catastrophic if you get hit if you're on a motorcycle in a car.
Yeah.
So they have them brighter than car headlights, which makes sense. But in our case, like I said, although we're a motorcycle, we're designing to four-wheel standards nearly everywhere, with a few exceptions like that one where we have to meet the motorcycle because we are a motorcycle, right? So and it's a couple things like that that precludes me saying that we're going to meet all four-wheel standards.
So how do you split the difference on the headlight brightness if they're too bright or not, or they're bright enough to be a motorcycle headlight but too bright for an automobile headlight? How do you make that one work?
Well, it's motorcycle brightness because we are technically a motorcycle.
So
that way we're complying.
So I'm sure somebody's going to raise a fuss. Any other regulatory issues that you've run into before you get this done?
No.
So it's ready to go.
So it is. You know, we pour money in one end and cars will come out the other in about a year and a half.
And by the way, you explained to me something I thought was kind of interesting, and my audience is willing to tolerate my interest in you know, getting in the weeds a bit. But you talked about the fact that, why do you need $400 million? Can't you just start making them as one-offs or, you know, sort of custom? And you explained to me that if you don't buy the right kind of tools to turn out, you know, 5,000 of this and 5,000 of that, you can't really make them in quantity. And if you can't make them in quantity, you can't get the price point you want to do.
There's several things. One, the engineering costs the same whether you're going to build one or 250,000, right? We need to crash six vehicles, right, front, side, and rear twice, regardless of what the volume is. And there's a lot of other things that are like that. And then on the actual pieces and parts, if you tool something for a lot cheaper to do a slow run or a short run, the part cost goes through the roof. So, yeah, you save a bunch of tooling money, but now your variable cost goes up. So the only way to get this product at, you know, $7,500 and 84 miles per gallon is to commit to the whole thing. And, you know, trust me, we have run it several times on, you know, what if we do a shorter first-year volume? And it doesn't move the capital requirements enough to make it make any sense. You know, you can save $50 million maybe, but, you know, you still have to raise a huge pile of money, and now you don't have as compelling a product, right?
Yep. So it makes sense. Anything else you think people are not understanding about where your company sits and where it's going to go?
No, I think the folks get it, and that's one of the reasons why I'm excited about the STO, is rather than exclusively going to big institutions, we can go to the public with the funding. And the folks have always gotten this. So that's really what's happened on the regulation side, at least from my purview. You know, in the 80s, the penny stock market was strong, and companies could go there to get capital. And then you had some crooks like Blinder Robinson and others. And so they really put the screws down on those kind of offerings, right? And so they've done a good job at eliminating the fraud. But like I said, at the same time, they've eliminated access.
Yeah, so the good guys get cut out along with the bad guys, which is usually the problem with government rules. The law-abiding get hurt more than the crooks get hurt. The crooks just move on to the next scam. Paul, thanks a lot. We appreciate the update.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Glad to have you on. That's engineer Paul Elio, the CEO of Elio Motors. Other than having a reservation to buy one when they come out, because I'd like to have one of the first ones, and Tina and I think are 1546 on the line. Other than that, no involvement on my part, no dog in the fight. I'm just enthusiastic about the idea of a brand new American car company with 90% made in America, 1,500 American employees. And all it's got to do is get a couple of $100 million more in place and get it going. And like he said, isn't it crazy? All these venture capitalists, here, we'll give you $5 million, create another Facebook. We'll give you money for that, but not for something that actually has a practical usefulness to millions of Americans. Back in a moment, you're listening to the Lars Larson Show.